Welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. When you find yourself on a new path in life, whether planned or unexpected, you may feel lost and unsure of which path to take. Your decisions of how to move forward may be tainted by adversities of your younger life. Rosita will help you sort out the boxes of your life so that you will be able to create a roadmap for your own healing journey. She will partner with you so you can discover what you need to come home, whether that's a physical home or the home in you. Moving Forward for Life with Rosita starts now.
Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. I am your host, Rosita Perez McLaurin. I'm a discovery coach and realtor. And on my show today and the next couple of shows, we'll be talking about life events. Now, life events could be you're getting married, you're getting divorced, you're getting married into a blended family, you're buying or selling your home, you're an empty nester. So what do you do now? A lot of times when these life events happen, we get lost. We don't know which direction to go, and we just have to figure out how to get through it, right? Now, my job as a discovery coach and realtor is to help you navigate through those life events and be able to find a path so you can come home. Let's talk about home. There are two meanings to me of what home means. Number one, home could mean a physical home, right? You could be a renter moving into your new home. You could be already have a home and you need to upgrade because you have your parents coming in to live with you, or you have your kids coming home with their kids, or you need to downsize because all the kids are grown. And you got all this house and you don't need it anymore. So sell it and travel around the world, right? The other home is the home in you, where you have to unpack these boxes and decide what you want to keep in you and what you want to get rid of. You want to determine how you can move forward and how you can be able to find out who you truly are and what has kept you from who that is. Now, I want you to just take a minute and imagine. Imagine coming home to the person you want to be versus the person you have to be in all these masks that we tend to wear. That reality is within your grasp. My vision for these podcasts is to share my personal journey with you, to share with you all my pains and my heartaches, all the mistakes I've made, how I got through it and how I overcame and how I found my path home, in hopes that you will create a roadmap so you can find your own healing and go into your path to find your way home. Today, we are going to talk about my story. And I'm going to try to do that in the time that we have. So be patient. It's a lot of years we got to unpack, okay? So let me just start with saying that my parents are both from Guam. They were born, grew up there, got married, ended up having 14 children on Guam. Yep, I said 14 from the same mom and dad. I am number 12 of that 14. One of my siblings passed away at birth. My parents were traditional, so my mom stayed home. With all those kids, it wasn't worth working. And my dad did work. But Guam is only 21 miles long. So the jobs, and especially the good jobs, they were hard to get. So my dad did odd jobs. And the odd jobs that he did get, what he thought at the time was, hey, let me do some gambling and I'll get more money. Well, we know that doesn't necessarily work, right? So he gambled a lot of the money away. And my mom was at home trying to figure out, how am I going to feed all these mouths? I just want you to imagine, if you're a parent, how would you figure out to feed 13 kids? Not just feed them, but you also have to clothe them. And then you have to put a roof over their head, right? Those are the basic necessities that we are supposed to provide as parents. Luckily, my dad and my brothers were able to build us a house, so we had shelter. Now, the challenge would be how to feed these kids and how to clothe them. My dad did the best that he could, and that he was stressed out. There was stress in the house. There was so much dysfunction of chaos and yelling and frustration and controlling, because when you control, you feel safe. And it just led to a lot of pain, really. But at the same time, I felt that my childhood was normal because I didn't know any different, right? Later in life, as I started healing, I realized that being in a big family is great. But what happens, the downside of it, is that my parents didn't have enough time to spend with each one of us. So that element of nurturing and loving, I didn't have. Now, I'm not trying to talk about my parents. Bless their hearts, rest in peace. My parents did an amazing job raising all of us. Amazing. They did the best that they could with what they had. Though through my healing, I found out that I had to figure out what things really hurt me in childhood and then unpack that and learn how to forgive them. Because what was happening was that it was holding me down. It was imprisoning me. And once I released that and forgave them, then I was able to see another part of me that I didn't recognize. My parents taught me so much. They taught me how to be content with where I am and strive for more. They taught me strong work ethic and to know that I have to have integrity in my word and keep my word. Now, it gets better. By the grace of God, my dad ended up getting a job in civil service as a machinist. Now, let me tell you, this in itself is a miracle because my parents were only able to have elementary school education because it was just, you have to pay for everything on an island when you go to school. So they had to quit school. So my dad got a job in civil service, great job, machinist, amazing. Then on top of that, we moved to San Diego. We migrated from Guam to San Diego. And on top of that, we had our own house. We didn't have to rent. We just moved into our own house. Things were getting better. My older siblings ended up, my sisters got married. My brothers went into the military and they were able to send money home to support us. Though everything looked great, there were still underlying issues. And when you don't deal with your underlying issues, it starts to creep up. I know that the pain wasn't intentional, and I know that my parents did the best that they could. So right now, we got to take a little short break, but we will continue on. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Are you constantly trying to figure out who you are, where you belong, and what your purpose is? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you to the core of your soul blueprint. Knowing your soul blueprint helps you to figure out your life in a way that works best for you on your own terms. You'll walk away feeling genuinely seen, heard, and appreciated for the gift that you truly are in the universe. To register for her Soul Blueprint online course and Soul Blueprint reading, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Hey guys, welcome back. Thanks for letting me take a little break there. So moving forward, my sister and I used to go bike riding. And one day we went bike riding, we came home and we walked in the door and there was an eerie quiet. We didn't know what was happening, but what we found out, what we were told was that my mom was taken away in an ambulance and my dad went with. So we're like waiting on pins and needles to find out what's going on. My dad calls and he was wailing on the phone. He said, "Your mom is gone." And in an instant, I had lost my mom. I felt so responsible. I felt like if I had been there, things would have been different. So, and honestly, I couldn't tell you what happened the next couple of weeks in preparing for the services and everything, because I just checked out. All my siblings came home. So you could imagine, not only did they come home, but they now have spouses and kids. So there was all kind of noise and, you know, all kind of noise. What I do remember is that there was a deafening silence when everybody left. It was so incredibly quiet. And then my reality set in. I had to inherit all the responsibilities of my mom and take care of my younger brothers and my dad, all the household stuff. I was 15 years old. I went from being a little girl to a pseudo adult taking care of all this stuff in an instant. I mean, what I learned was that I had to shove down my feelings. I had to buck up and handle my responsibilities and just keep it moving. I didn't have time to grieve because I didn't even know what that was. I was only 15 years old. I had to be strong because now I have two younger brothers that I've got to take care of and make sure that they're good. I had no time to cry. And honestly, back then, crying was a sign of weakness. So this is where I put on my first mask, the mask of, I got this, everything's okay, I can handle it. Yeah, I'm fine, right? And I put on that mask. But then, you know, when something so traumatic like that happens, most people shut down and they check out. And that's exactly like I said earlier, I checked out and I just kept it moving. But here's the thing. What you do not face, you cannot heal. My traumatic event, unknowingly at the time, it impacted all of my choices moving forward in every part of my life. So moving forward, I'm 16 years old now. I got all this freedom because my dad's busy trying to deal with his grief. And I end up at 16 falling in love with a bad boy. Now, ladies, I don't know why we do this, but most of us have to have that one bad boy. And I was in love. That was my first love. But he ended up cheating on me. And I felt betrayed and brokenhearted. I realized that I was brokenhearted, but I didn't know how to process it. And again, I had to be strong. I was acting like someone I had to be versus someone that I needed to be, which was to deal with my pain. So I put on another mask. I acted like, no big deal. I can handle this, you know, good riddance, you know, that kind of thing at 16, right? Moving forward, I ended up meeting somebody at 19, and it was a fairy tale. It was just a fairy tale romance, right? He did all the things that we ladies love, the poems, the flowers, the cards, the romantic. I fell in hook, line, and sinker. We ended up getting married like, I think 6 months later. I only knew him 6 months before I married him. But he did all the things every woman would want. Not only that, but he fed my deficiency because I didn't get the love and nurturing I needed as a kid. So I gravitated to that. 2 months later, I found out I was pregnant. And shortly after that, I found out that he was an alcoholic and the emotional and physical abuse started. I was absolutely confused. Like, I never saw this growing up. I didn't understand it whatsoever. It wasn't talked about like it is talked about today. There were no support groups or anything. And I thought, okay, wait, is it me? Am I making him be abusive? And then I couldn't leave because back then you just did not get divorced. You got to buck up and deal with it. And I didn't want to disappoint my dad. And there was only one other person that was divorced in our family, and I didn't want to be the second person. So though what happened was that my dad experienced an event between me and my husband and told me, okay, that's it. You're getting divorced tomorrow. So here I am, 22 years old, divorced, and I have this beautiful daughter that I was responsible for. Now, I wanted to be loved so bad that I did not count the cost of what that love is going to cost me. Abuse is always unhealthy. And if you are in any kind of abusive relationship, please seek help. There's so many resources for you out there. And what I want to say, though, is when you choose a mate from your place of brokenness, they're going to be broken, too, because that's what we attract. We attract who we are, right? I kept searching for love. I kept searching for love because I wanted to be loved so badly. And what I saw on TV were these wonderful relationships where everybody gets along. But that's not what marriage is. That's not what a real relationship is. It takes work. And I did have long-term relationships and I even got remarried for about 20 years and now going through a divorce. But I had to take time to look at myself. I had to really do some real soul searching. Because what is going on? I looked at myself in the mirror and said, what the heck, Rosita? What is going on? Why can't you keep a relationship going? So I had to spend time looking at my pain points. And throughout the relationships I was in, I noticed I had anger. I was controlling. I was insecure. And I wanted the love so bad. I would be like, hey, come here, I want to be loved. And then when they got about this close, I was like, okay, no, back up. Nope, can't do it. Too scared. And my abandonment issues kicked in. But I allowed these unhealthy relationships and behaviors to be okay. On the other side, you know, the men that I dated and married, I'm not saying that they're bad men at all. Not at all. But what happens is that I was broken. They were broken. We were two broken people trying to love each other when we didn't even have love for ourselves. We didn't even know who we were. In my quiet time, I realized a couple of things. So maybe several reasons that my relationships did not work. One of them was I was comfortable in my mess, in my unhealthy behaviors. I knew how to maneuver through them. I knew what the next step was going to be. So I was comfortable. The next thing is my own brokenness. I accepted those unloving behaviors. I stayed in relationships because, well, I wanted to be loved and I had not healed. So I just accepted it, even though I knew inside it was unhealthy. Number three is the choices that I made in picking the men that I picked was a reflection of my own deep pain. I chose unhealthy men who were emotionally unavailable because that's how my dad was. And I was comfortable with that. And I didn't even realize it at the time, but I was comfortable in that. So again, two broken people trying to come together to have a love that they really want, both broken, both having to deal with their stuff, but you can't give what you don't have, right? You know, most of my life, I focused on surviving and keeping these masks on. Just keep the mask on and make sure everything looks great, that you're okay. And in retrospect, I spent a lot of time feeding my pain and I was exhausted. But I kept feeding that pain because that's what I knew. I looked back, I looked around, I talked to various women and found that a lot of us did not get taught how to love and nurture ourselves. We just didn't know. So we didn't do it. Back then it was like, give to everybody else and you come last. Well, coming last has a heavy price that you pay. The other thing about having self-worth, that was a totally foreign concept back in the day. What's that? So no wonder why many of us were lost, exhausted, and empty, right? And I tried everything to suppress the pain or what I thought was healing the pain. I mean, I was out dancing all the time. I wasn't a big drinker, but I was out dancing all the time. And I did try to use alcohol and drugs and relationships to ease the pain. and to move forward, still hoping I was going to find that true love, but nothing worked. I gave so much of myself, so much that I was spent. Finally, I made a decision and I was determined to heal. Now, let me say, I looked at everything and how to do it. You know, I did counseling. I did, you know, individual counseling. I did healing sessions. I went to marital counseling and support groups, the whole codependent thing. I had friends that I talked to. I tried tarot cards and crystals, and nothing seemed to work. I felt like I was running out of options, and I almost gave up. I almost said, ugh. Forget it. I can't even deal with this anymore. And the pain was just getting more and more pain. And then I realized, wait a minute, I have some people around me that prayed for me all the time. And back in the day, we called them holy rollers. And I didn't want to be a holy roller. I would have to give up everything that I knew to then be a holy roller. That just wasn't in my scope of what I wanted to do. But at the same time, I had ran out of options. So I said, okay, let me give this God thing a try. Now, I'm not trying to preach. I'm not trying to convert you. I am just telling my story of how I found my way home. So I gave this God thing a try. But let me tell you, I was skeptical because I was totally on the left side. I was not religious. I was none of that. But I needed something to help me. So I went forward and I began to heal, because I knew there had to be a purpose for all this pain and suffering in my life. I knew it. And in the past 10 years, I've become more aware. I've deepened my relationship with God. I'm doing my work and I'm healing. Now, I'm not saying that I've arrived, by no means. But I can tell you, and people that have known me for a long time can tell you, that I'm not the person I used to be, thank God. I'm so much better. On a daily basis, my faith gives me the courage to face the good, the bad, and the not so pretty parts of me. But now I can see the fabulous of who I am and who God made me to be. Now I've learned how to cope and triumph over the heaviest hurdles. And my journey has been painful. I'm not going to deny that. But doing my work and healing with God has given me peace and overwhelming joy. And of course, I still have problems. And my path has brought me to where I am today, where I can deal with those problems in a healthier way. And I can recognize those triggers. My path has come to a place where I am a discovery coach and realtor, because I know how hard and how lonely and how heartbreaking it is to live in pain. I am passionate to help other people to understand where their pain points are and how to get out of it and find out who you are. Get out from that victimville and begin to understand the true beauty in you and accept that. Today, I am stronger than I've ever been. I am braver. I know who I am and discovering more parts about me that I didn't realize was in me. The healing and letting go of stuff that has hurt me and hindered me and kept me down is now it's getting smaller and smaller. All the masks I had to wear, I'm taking those off one by one. And I am becoming the authentic woman that God has created me to be. I can tell you that it has been a long journey. And because it's been such a hard journey for me, I wish that I had somebody in my life that would have helped me along the way and helped me navigate and figure out my pain points and such, right? It has been tough, but the pain that I've had to endure, the pain of overcoming and facing my stuff, has brought me to overwhelming joy and peace, and I'm able to handle the problems that come my way. I'm no way arrived, by no means, but I've come a lot closer to discovering my home. Now I've discovered my purpose. I am a life coach and a discovery coach and a realtor. I have empathy for women that have been going through this and don't know how to get out. I have empathy for being stuck in this pain and not knowing which path to take. I've discovered my purpose in life, and I have found my way home. And that's my journey, y'all. I hope that it brings some sort of, I don't know, energy, hope, that you can also find your way out. I want to tell you that I'm going to be giving away 6 one-hour sessions of coaching. And if you are interested in it, please sign up on my website, movingforwardforlife.com, under the coaching options. I would so like to be able to chat with you and see how we can unpack these boxes so that you can find your path home. I will be here every second and fourth Friday on this podcast for the next couple of months, 12:30 p.m. Pacific time on Transformation Talk Radio. I'll also have the video uploaded onto my YouTube. I hope that my story brought you some peace, brought you a way to create your roadmap. And if you'd like a consultation, please go ahead and schedule that on my website as well. Thank you so much. I will chat with you on the fourth Friday. Thank you for listening to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. With me, Rosita Perez McLaurin. Through my own personal healing journey, I've come out stronger and braver. I know firsthand how hard, how lonely, and heartbreaking it is to continually live in pain. I will help you learn to face the good, the bad, and the not so pretty parts of yourself so you can uncover the fabulous in you. Join me every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.